So I must be Pastor Dennis. I'm one of the pastors here. Have been for nearly 13 years. Hey, we are in the in-between times. We just are finishing up one great sermon series. Thank you for Pastor Mike leading the charge and Pastor Laura for bringing us home last week on the Rethink Money series. And as you heard, we're going to be starting a new one, new series next Sunday. When I heard RPM, some of you vinyl generation brothers out there maybe thought 33 and a third or 45. That's what I was thinking. But no, it's relationship, passion, and marriage. And so that should be an easy invite for many of our friends, neighbors, and co-workers. But in the in-between time today, we want to consider the amazing power of memories. As we look into a passage, particularly that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, in the greater context of the relationship that he had with this church. It was the first church that he planted on European soil, and really was the church that he had the warmest relationship with of all the churches in the Mediterranean area that he helped shepherd. Perhaps the key verse in this passage is Philippians 1:3, which in the NASB version is rendered, "I thank my God in all my remembrances of you." But I'm going to read the whole passage from verse 1 to 11 in the NIV version. You can compare and contrast if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible. It should be on page 196. That is actually NRSV, so a slightly different translation, but you can follow in your own Bible or your handheld device as well. But let's hear God's word to us this morning from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, thank you for this good day. Thank you for bringing Pastor Mike and Laura back safely from a week of R&R. And a lot to look forward to for them in this next stretch of ministry. So bless them as they continue to lead us on. Thank you for Pastor James, who arrives this week and steps right into ministry. And steep learning curve, but Lord, give him your spirit to lead and to serve well in this place. May we all be gracious in welcoming him and helping to make him feel at home and find his way around here at Faith Covenant Church. Lord, thank you for an awesome parents' night out on Friday and for all those little kids that we were able to love on while their moms and dad had some special time to get out and cultivate their love relationship one with another. So thank you that that was a win-win-win experience. And so, Lord, now as we look into your word, we pray as your spirit inspires that your spirit would also enlighten our hearts and minds, that we would find both challenge as well as encouragement in these words. We pray in your name. Amen. So as nearly all of you know, come the end of this month, Mary Lynn and I will be wrapping up nearly 13 years of ministry here at Faith Covenant Church. And by the 1st of May, we hope to make a move to Denton, Texas, on the north end of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where our daughter lives. I don't mind winter. My wife, maybe not so much, but something compelling about kids in this season of life, and so we'll be heading that way to join Kristen and her husband Scott in North Texas. And so with this come a lot of sorting through stuff. Stuff upon stuff and more stuff. Stuff from even over 40 years ago that we had no idea that we had saved, but we each in our own turn headed off to the mission field as single people, threw stuff in boxes, and then we found each other, got married, and went back to the mission field, and then had some kids and went back to the mission field again, and those boxes were sitting, and then they got thrown on a truck to come here from Minnesota to Michigan 13 years ago without hardly having even been opened since. But with the stuff comes a lot of memories. Most of the memories are good ones. For me, 4 summers working at Mission Springs, our covenant camp in California, Northern California, where I grew up, and another 4 summers working with Slavic Gospel Association in Eastern Europe, one of the first mission experiences that I connected with, and then 2 full years of life and studies and ministry in Hungary during the Iron Curtain era as a chance to get deeper and closer with the work of God there. And all that was before I even met Mary Lynn. But there were also some hard memories intermingled. Trivial as it may sound, as I was sorting through schoolwork from years past, I realized that I was somewhat of a late bloomer, and at times that was hard. That was hard. I also realized that I was not as great a student as some of you think I was back then. And so hopefully that gives us encouragement as parents, grandparents, as we see the lives of our kids, grandkids unfold in their own timetable and growth and maturity. But for good or for ill, memories profoundly shape who we are. An obvious example of the ill type of memories would be something called post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, as most of you know the term. It plays out in the lives of many, especially those who have seen combat duty in war. And the effects of PTSD have been documented clear back to the ancient Greeks, back to the biblical times of Paul writing to this church in Greece. But it has only been used as a term since the 1970s when soldiers were coming back from the Vietnam War and dots got put together in this way. But it is estimated that 9% of all Americans will be impacted by PTSD at some point in their lives. And that number is probably for clinical cases. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure that number could be much higher if we considered varying degrees of trauma that we all suffer that fall short of a clinical diagnosis. But we also know the wonderful and positive side of memories that can be elicited by a photograph, many photographs that we have sorted through in the last month or two, or even a musical melody, or perhaps a particular fragrance. We also know the power of collective memory for shaping a people, our culture, and society itself. This is Black History Month, which is critically important for our sisters and brothers of color and for our society as a whole, as it brings to light memories of the past, both hard ones, ones of injustices that are still needing to be made right, as well as wonderful memories of great achievements of African Americans that have often been laid buried underneath other narratives and layers of history. The story of God's people in Holy Scripture is absolutely one that is framed by memories. The most formative experience of the Old Testament people of God, the Jews, was the Passover, marking their deliverance from slavery and bondage in Egypt. And that takes place in the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 12. But no sooner than the event is recorded comes chapter 13 and instructions for commemorating it, for remembering it, for all generations, something that continues to our very day. In fact, Passover this year falls on April 8th, as many of our Jewish friends in this community will observe. Passover is a meal of remembrance, the memory of which defines the Jewish people. That escape from Egypt culminates in the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And again, you can read about that in Joshua chapter 3. But again, right away, right after the Lord stops up the waters of the Jordan, in chapter 4 of Joshua, the Lord instructs each of the 12 tribes of Israel to take a stone of remembrance out of the bottom of that riverbed and to pile it up on the other side, the far side of the river, as a memorial to what God had done. These stones, as Joshua records, were to serve as a sign among you in the future. When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. These stones are to be a memorial, remembrance to the people of Israel forever. For those of us who are New Testament followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, every time we partake of Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ, we hear these words from Scripture that say, do this in remembrance of me. And so, as the Apostle Paul reflects on many years of warm partnership that he has had with this church at Philippi, it is not surprising to hear him say, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. And in a similar way, as we soon conclude nearly 13 years of pastoral ministry among you here at Faith, I can truly say, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. But to be clear, in the biblical context, remembrance is never with the sense of saying those were the good old days, only reflecting wistfully on the past. But rather, it is with a view towards the future, that the God who did mighty works in the past is still the same God today and into the future to be with us in new kingdom endeavors in a new day to come. The writer to the Hebrews, in a very specific context of remembrance, if you look at the verses before and around it, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it before, and he will do it again. And so if I might contextualize just a bit and paraphrase Philippians 1:1-3, I might say, Dennis and Mary Lynn, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Faith Covenant, Farmington Hills, together with the pastoral staff, elders, and board, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. And so, tracking with Paul and his warm remembrances of the Philippian church, here are some, just some of many ways in which I thank my God as I reflect on 13 years of ministry here at Faith. Now, to begin with, one could easily skip over the initial salutation of the letter because we say, oh, yeah, we know that this is a letter from Paul. But that is not what the text says. It says Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy. Though Paul was the foremost evangelist, missionary, church planter, theologian of the New Testament church, he was extremely collegial, and always discipling and raising up next-generation leaders in the church through mentoring. And as such, Paul and Timothy together send this letter to the Philippians, Timothy having been along with Paul in Acts chapter 16, that whole chapter talks about how the church at Philippi was begun, and we will reference that here and there as we go also. I will always remember how during my years here at Faith Covenant Church, we would send college students to Urbana, InterVarsity's Triennial Missions Conference. Others have gone out on summer and multi-month mission trips, and shorter spring break trips like Lauren Wozniak and Zach Kelly here are getting ready to head out in a couple of weeks to Nicaragua with their LTU crew colleagues to again serve as they did last spring. I think of Jesse Slimick and his family. They spent about 3 years with us while he was doing his seminary studies, and he did an internship of sorts with us at that time. And after graduating and his ordination, he went on to serve 5 years as pastor of a small covenant church up north, Leroy, Michigan, and now is pastoring in Du Bois, Pennsylvania. And it's a similar joy to see ones like Rob Menko, who was just a high school student, just beginning high school when I came here to Faith. And during my tenure, he's gone on to college and gone on to be a member of the crew staff at Michigan State. And I think of Katie Cooper now, who has a heart for Papua New Guinea. She has already been there using her gifts as a nurse, serving God, and now is doing further studies in midwifery with hopes and openness to where God might lead her further on. And even with full-grown adults, as I have worked with dozens of commission chairs for adult discipleship, for evangelism and outreach, congregational care, and missions, I trust and I know that discipleship and mentoring has taken place. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. Also in that very first verse are all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Now, if the initial core of folks who were saved by the Lord back in Philippi, as recorded in Acts 16, is any indication, this was an extremely diverse congregation. The church starts with Lydia's conversion, a businesswoman from what is modern-day Turkey. There's also the slave girl, local, who is delivered from a demon, and she would be Greek, as this church in Philippi was the first one planted in what is today Greece. Then there is the Roman jailer at the end of that chapter who gets saved, and last I looked, Rome was in Italy, and so he would be an Italian, if we would put it in the contemporary context. And so all three of these initial converts represent three different countries and the cultures and languages that go with that, as well as three different social classes in terms of their profession. I will always have warm memories of the beautiful kingdom diversity that we are blessed with here at Faith Covenant Church. Throughout our 13 years here, though there has been mobility of people and folks coming and going, we have always had roughly 20-plus nations of birth represented in our midst. And with our own family roots in Africa, we have been particularly blessed by friends like Vicki Johnson and Jonathan and Princess Cooper and their families from Sierra Leone, who were already here at Faith when we came, but also Bumi Adebayo and her family from Nigeria, who joined us at a number of years ago. And now more recently, friends like Jean-Claude and Jeanine Nyirinkindi and little baby Aiden from Rwanda. And I counted at least four families who have raised adoptive children who were born in Russia, and four other families who were from Canada. And Pastor Shinichi and Masako Miyamoto have made sure that we will always have Japanese among us at our church as well. We have had Chinese who have been regular worshipers among us from Hong Kong, Singapore, as well as mainland China. And through a wonderful partnership that we have with the Free Evangelical Gemeinde Fellowship Church in Stuttgart area, Germany, we have had a regular flow of worshipers from Germany as well. Not to mention the Dutch. I think the Dutch are among us this morning, too. let alone those from East India and those who are of Puerto Rican, Estonian descent as well. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. We have already recognized Lydia as the first Christian and really the leader of that church at Philippi. But there are also two other women that are mentioned in this book. Back in chapter 4, this short epistle, verse 2, it talks about Euodia and Syntyche. Now, if you've ever even heard of these people near the back of that book, you probably know them as, oh yeah, they were the women who just couldn't get along with each other, right? Okay? But what is often passed over is how these women are described. These women, it says, who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. While it is true that we don't know the exact role that these women played, the word contended would indicate that they were right in the thick of the battle with Paul. And likewise, when Paul says that they were, quote, at my side, that would indicate that they were seen as equals and not subordinates. I'm thankful that Faith Covenant has been a church that has long recognized the equal gifting of both men and women for kingdom service. Actually, long before I came here 13 years ago, Faith was at the vanguard in affirming women in ministry when Mary Miller served on the pastoral staff here back in the 1980s. And you have done well to recognize and affirm Pastor Laura's ministry gifts and to encourage her as she continues to hone through seminary studies. But some of you probably don't know that studying alongside Laura is through North Park Theological Seminary remote cohort, distance learning here in Michigan, are both our own Jody Idness and Krisasha Tapandi. And this not to mention so many godly and gifted other women that have served in every role in the church, from commission chair to elder to church chair. And so Anna and Sue and Nancy and Neva and Mary Ellen and Lynn and Marcia and so many others, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. The very origins of this church at Philippi was in the context of Paul's second missionary journey. It was a strategic mission outpost and the first church planted on European soil, where the church would grow exponentially in the course of history. Additionally, they in turn, more than any other church, faithfully supported Paul in his ongoing mission work. Our early covenant forebears were known as mission friends. The original name of our denomination that we are part of was the Evangelical Mission Covenant Church. And I'm so grateful that this has been a church that has been committed to mission, both locally and globally, without which we probably wouldn't even still be here 106 years after we were founded. And so for the Duttons in Thailand, the Swansons working with immigrants and refugees in Sweden, and the Ziegelbauers working in Cameroon, Africa, for Life Challenge and Life Remodeled, and Angel Tree, for summer mission trips to KICY in Nome, Alaska, to Stuttgart, Germany, and to Santiago, the Dominican Republic. I thank my God on all my remembrances of you. In verse 4 of our text, Paul writes, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." Paul, great as he was a man of prayer, depending on God's work in his life. Again, later on in our passage, the last three verses, verses 9 through 11 of what we read in the passage, there's a powerful prayer of Paul's for the Philippian church. And the fruits, lifting them up before the Lord, that godly character and the fruits of righteousness would be cultivated in them. Faith has always been a people of prayer, and may it never cease to be a house of prayer for all nations, to quote a verse. Thanks to all of you who have and continue to knit prayer shawls. Thanks to God for the way that he has used Sue Fitzsimmons in writing and the distribution of her prayer shawl book. For those of you who gather quite periodically up front after services to pray specifically for those in need, and for those who pray for our students, and those who pray for our church needs, and for those of you who both take to heart and take to the throne of grace the requests that go out regularly on our prayer chain, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. It is well known that the book of Psalms, right in the middle of our Bible, containing more than twice as many chapters as any other book in the Bible, was the songbook for the Old Testament people of God. Less well known is the fact that in chapter 2 of Philippians is one of the earliest Christian hymns of praise to God. If you look at Philippians 2, verses 6 to 11, in almost any translation of the Bible that you might have, even the digital translation, it reflects a break in the solid prose writing of Paul and is set off in a more poetic format, even as all the Psalms are set in our Bibles. It is unclear whether Paul himself wrote this hymn or perhaps borrowed it from some other contemporary praise song written by somebody else and incorporated it into his letter. But Christ's life and his attitude of humility, as expressed in this rich hymn, was a needed example for the Philippians. Faith has been and continues to be richly blessed with gifted musicians, both instrumentalists and vocalists. So we give thanks to Kat and her growing team for awesome leadership in this season of musical expression and praise to God, such that on a Sunday like this, when Kat shows up sick, we can tell her, go home, knowing that the team will be there for her and carry on. And thanks, Matt Cooley, for the years that you devoted particularly to youth in worship. And sincere thanks to Donna Picken for dedicated service for a quarter of a century at the organ. And I've collaborated with Donna so many other times for weddings and funerals alike. And for Marvin Cole's spirited expression of praise to God on the piano, and Missy Schock's vocal leadership, including a decade as founder and director of the Detroit Children's Choir, which this church has been supportive of, and for all former choir members still worshiping among us, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. Yes, we just got done with our financial series, but it bears mentioning that one of the main objectives of this letter to the Philippian church was to say thank you for the gift in support of Paul and his missionary work and to help him in his time of need in imprisonment. Because Paul is writing all of this from prison, and the Philippians have sent him a gift. I won't take the time to read them now, but it would encourage you to look at those five verses on the screen, chapter 4, end of the book, verses 14 to 18. It gives you more of the context to understand why Paul is picking up quill and parchment in the first place to pen this epistle, which has become this most beloved letter to the Philippians in our Bibles. Faith Covenant has been a church that has always risen to the financial challenges of the day. Having come here in the summer of 2007, my family and I had barely been here a year when the economy tanked big time, as some of you will remember, in the late summer of 2008. As the last one hired, I did not know whether the reality might be that I would be the first one let go. But I needn't have worried. Even with several faith families needing to relocate due due to the economic downturn locally here in Southeast Michigan, Faith rallied. They rallied to pay off the existing mortgage at that time without ever having to cut staff. Though there were others who led us forward in faith financially, I will always remember the voice of one Jim Coslow, who was the banner waver, I would say, for stepping out in faith financially, wherever God might be leading us. And as the Philippian church graciously supported Paul and his kingdom service, faith has always cared for its pastors and staff. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. Among those numbered at the church at Philippi were undoubtedly some who would fit into the category of children and youth. If you go back again to Acts 16, the founding of the Philippian church, there are at least three specific references to family and households. In Acts 16:15, it says, Lydia and the members of her household were baptized. Acts 16:33, immediately he, that is the Roman jailer, and all his family were baptized. And the next verse, Acts 16:34, says he, the jailer, was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. While we don't have a lot of details of how Christian education and kids' men was carried out in the early church or at Philippi, they were probably still back in the flannel graph era, just saying. But with these three references, it is very safe to believe that especially in a culture of family solidarity, that there were children and youth who were part of that vibrant and diverse church that Paul loved so well. My dear wife, Mary Lynn, has been blessed to serve and love on our preschoolers down the hall all these years. And if you do the math, some of those four-year-olds 13 years ago are now 17 years old and getting ready soon to head off for college. For faithful volunteers over the years, for infants baptized and dedicated, as we will do second service today, for vacation Bible schools galore, for baby whisperers and baby rockers, for Ryan and Julie Scaff, for confirmation teachers, for Pastor Eric and Justin Saxton, who came before him, and all who have burned midnight oil, literally at camp and retreats, being in the trenches with our youth. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. And finally, in the dozen verses of Philippians chapter 1, beyond which we already read this morning, there are two short phrases that I hope and pray that you all will always remember. If you can remember our three-word mission statement, say it with me, connect, grow, serve. If you can remember that, you should be able to memorize these two phrases. In Philippians 1:21, the phrase is, to die is gain. Repeat after me. To die is gain. And then two verses later in Philippians 1:23 is this phrase, better by far. Repeat after me. Better by far. If you want to see the complete sentences there, it is, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 1:21. And then the other verse is verse 1:23, where it's Paul says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Better by far. Somehow, I know that I'm going to go down in faith's history as the pastor who could remember everybody's name and the pastor who could bury people really well. Just saying. But I truly appreciate your warm words of affirmation on numerous occasions. when we have gathered together, both to grieve deeply the loss of the saints of God, loved ones dear to us, but also to celebrate their life here on earth and now eternally with Christ in heaven. But friends, this is the great Christian hope, that to die is gain, and that to depart and be with Christ is indeed better by far. Time does not permit to mention specific names, but the litany of those names that we would read each Remembrance Sunday in November, and the lives of faith of those dying with their confidence in Christ alone, is something I will never forget. I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. Again, all these memories give us confident expectation for what lies ahead as the Lord leads us each on. Though we do not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God who has blessed us over these last 13 years together and has brought us through quite a few challenges at the same time will continue to go before us. His promises are secure. And so as we wrap up, I don't know what kind of memories are shaping your life today. They may be good ones. They may be hard ones. They may well be a mix of both. But through his death upon the cross for our sake, Jesus Christ is able to redeem all of those hard memories, turning them into something beautiful for his sake in our lives, even as his suffering and shed blood for us redeems us from our broken and sinful lives. And so as you face the grave, whether it's the loss of a loved one in recent years, walking with a loved one today who is advanced in years, or contemplating your own mortality, I pray that you can say together with Paul with complete confidence, to die is gain, and to be with Christ is better by far. And if not, I would invite you to pray with me as we close, trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that this prayer and this day would prove to be for you your greatest memory of Christ's forgiveness and transforming power at work in your life. Let's pray. God, thank you that even while he was in prison, and in a sense because he was in prison, you worked in Paul's life to pen this letter to a beloved church. And thank you for how it is a reminder to us as we reflect on the past and as we move forward into the future. Lord, thank you ultimately for the promise of life eternal through Christ our Lord, that indeed to die is gain, and to be with Christ forever in heaven is better by far. And so I pray for any here today that is still wrestling with these gospel truths, and just pray that through reflecting on the blessings of the people of God, both from centuries past as well as in these recent years, that that would be a compelling witness to the fact that you are the living God, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just pray that their hearts would be open to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Dennis.